take your Bibles, please turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 11. Matthew, chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. We'll read this passage responsively. Matthew, chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. Matthew 11, 28 through 30. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls. And let's finish on verse 30 together. Ready? For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And let's pray. Father, thank you so much for just being our God. Thank you that when we have needs, we can come to you and you care. You don't push us aside. Father, thank you for church. Thank you for a man of God like we have here. Father, please fill him with your power as he preaches. Fill us with your power as we listen, so we might leave a little bit more like you, less like ourselves, please. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
This morning, as I preach to you, it is my goal to help you so that your life might be just a little bit easier. Just a little bit easier. If you're here today and you say, Brother Owens, my life is tough. It's just a tough life. If you say today, my life's a mess, or my life is hard, I think many of you know exactly what I mean when I say hard. There are times I look into the face of people, and it is obvious by looking into their face they've had a hard life. Life is being tough on them. If you today say, my life is a difficult life, you say, Brother Owens, it seems like life is an uphill battle for me. I'm constantly going uphill, and I feel that gravitational pull down, and it bogs me down. I want to help you. Some of you feel like, you know, you get to traveling. My son Jeff and I took a hunting trip that the church provided for us this week. While we were driving, and we were up on 68 and 70 going through Maryland, of course, there are some huge mountains out there, elevation, you know, 2,000, 2,200 feet above sea level. And while we were out there, I see a big old 18-wheeler. And it starts to head up those mountains, and they get bogged down. And I mean to the point, you've seen it, where they're only going 5-6 miles an hour, and some of you feel like that's your life. You just bog down, and no matter how much energy you put into it, you just don't feel like you're moving up the mountain of life as quickly as what you wish you could. You say, Brother Owens, my life, I've just got a hard row to hoe. Well, I'd like to advise you today. Now, what I say will not be complicated. It will be embarrassingly simple. But I sure would like to help you so that life is not so hard on you. The title of my sermon today is this: How to Make the Christian Life Easier. How to Make the Christian Life Easier. Now, notice something. I did not say how to make it easy. I said how we could make it easier. See, the Christian life is compared to war, and war is never easy. Now, the sermon today is not how to make your Christian life easier. It is how we can make it easier. How can we lighten it up some? You see, if living holy was easy, everybody would be doing it. We're always searching for ways to make life easy. Well, you have easy cookbooks and easy diets, and we're looking for easy credit and easy get-rich schemes. Today, I'm not condoning our society's lazy, find the easy way attitude. Not at all. But I do believe there are some spiritual guidelines that can make being a good Christian easier. Wouldn't it be nice if things were a little easier? That struggle, we're in this spiritual battle, and sometimes it becomes very difficult as a Christian. But some of you are making it way too hard on yourself. You make it way too hard on yourself. You make being spiritual hard. Now, I realize once again, we're in a war. But there are even techniques in war that make war a little easier. God wants there to be some ease to being a good Christian. If you think that every day, all day long, is a constant war, constant conflict, never any peace, but you're wrong. You're wrong. It's not supposed to be like that. We started out reading Matthew chapter 11, verse number 30. The Bible says, "For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." Well, look at that. God put right there in that one verse, He doesn't mind it being easy. He's trying to ease up a little bit. He said, "For my yoke is easy and my burden is light," and not heavy, but light. So evidently, there is some chance that things can get a little easier. There is some chance that what we face could get a little lighter. You know, that 18-wheeler that's struggling to get up to the peak of that mountain, that probably the heavier that burden, the more bogged down those engines are. And God said, maybe I can take a little weight off of your truck and I can make things a little lighter for you. And indeed, God does that. But wait a minute. This verse, it says, "For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Now, what is the yoke? Well, back in the days before they had John Deere tractors, they would take a couple of cattle, and they would put a harness around a cow's neck, and maybe they'd use a couple of them, and you would get in, it's called a yoke, that harness that went around the neck, and then they could hook up a plow, and where we use a tractor today, those horses or cattle would pull a plow, and the device around their neck was called a yoke. Now, so understand something. He said, "For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." He says, "I want to make things easy and I'd like for things to lighten up on you, but there's still a yoke there." So we're not going to make it easy, but I think we could make it easier. Listen to this verse. Proverbs chapter 14, verse number 6, the Bible says, "A scorner seeketh wisdom and findeth it not, but knowledge is easy unto him that understandeth." Here the Bible says, when you use God's knowledge in your life, it makes your life easier. Listen to the verse again. "A scorner seeketh wisdom and findeth not." You say, what does that mean right there? Those people that are scorners, gossips, and critics, they may seek some wisdom, but God doesn't give it to them. God says, "I'm not going to reward you with wisdom because you are doing," the Bible says that the devil is the accuser of the brethren. God's not real happy with people that go around with a negative, critical spirit all the time. So a scorner, they'll seek knowledge, but they're not going to find it. But it says this, "But knowledge is easy unto him that understandeth." When you use God's knowledge in your life, it will make your life easier. I don't know about you, but I am 45 years of age, and life has its way of getting difficult. Life gets tough. Life takes certain twists and turns, and before long, it seems like life is hard. Listen to this verse. James chapter 3, verse 17, it says, "But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated." It's speaking of God's wisdom there. When you use God's wisdom in your life, you're easy to be entreated. And what's it talking about? You're easy to train. You learn easily. Wow. Here God is saying to us, if you'll do it right, I can ease up some of the pressures in your life. I can make life a little easier for you. Hey, God's way is the easy way. It really is. God's way is the easy way. If you transgress God's way, it's going to make your life hard. When you transgress or don't follow God's way, you're making your way hard. But God wants you to take the easy way. Listen to this verse. Proverbs 13:15 says, "Good understanding giveth favor, but the way of the transgressors is hard." The Bible's saying when you don't do what God says, you make your life hard. But if you will do what God said, your path can be the easy path. Now understand something, folks. While we live on this earth, nobody has it easy all the time.
Right.
Not going to happen. But God said, by living my way, your life can be easier. Hey, these health and wealth preachers that are full of prunes say, I'll get saved, get into the church, all your problems will go away. That's not true. Jesus had problems. He was perfect.
Right.
He had burdens and heartaches. He was perfect.
Right.
It is not a matter of when you get into the church, all your problems will vanish and everything will go away and suddenly eureka, your financial dilemma is all past. It does not mean that at all. But let me tell you something. When you get into the church and you get born again and you start living for God, when you stop transgressing God's way, you don't have to go through those burdens and heartaches alone. You have someone that will help you make it through it and someone that will guide you through it. You have someone that can help you to bypass some of the hardships of life.
Right.
If you feel like Christianity seems easier to others than to you, I wish you'd listen today. It may be easier to others than to you. But it's not because God has blessed them in a unique way and they're getting a special exception to the hardnesses of life or the hardships of life. What it means is they are doing what God said so that their life could be a little easier. I wonder how often I hear Christians say to me, but he makes it look easy. And they'll say, living for God's easier for some than others. That may be so, but it's not God's fault, it's our fault. When our life is more difficult, maybe we brought it on. Maybe there's something that we can do to make our Christian life easy, no, but easier. God wants your life to be as easy as possible. Listen carefully. And again, I'm almost embarrassed at the simplicity of what I'm about to say. But my whole goal today is I hate to see some of you weighed down like you are. I mean, the reason why some of you struggle with your spirit so much is because life's hard. Well, maybe I can help you. And to be honest, the solution is so simple, it's embarrassing. Matter of fact, it's so simple, it's profound. What are we going to do? How could God help you? What could you do so your life is not so hard? First of all, if you want an easier Christian life, make all your decisions based on the Word of God. If you want an easier life, make all your decisions based on the Word of God. Psalm 119, verse 133 says, order my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. Here, the psalmist said, I want God to order my steps. What's he saying? Every step I take, I want God to direct or order that step. And you listen to me, if you want an easier Christian life, every step you take needs to be ordered by God's Word. It says here, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. Well, listen, God is saying if you'll walk every step in the Word of God, every day long, all week long, all month long, other things cannot dominate you. Bad can't dominate you because you are walking in the steps that God has directed. The reason why some of you have such a hard life, the reason why some of you just feel like life weighs you down, you don't live every day letting the Word of God be your guide. The easiest way to live your life is according to the Bible. You don't believe me. You still find those people that don't do anything God's way and see what kind of life they have. Look at how hard their life is. I'm talking about everything you do, every decision, where I go, based on the Bible. Who I'm with, based on the Bible. What I say, based on the Bible. What I do, based on the Bible. How much I borrow, based on the Bible. What I read, based on the Bible. What I watch, based on the Bible. What I listen to, based on the Bible. Who I marry, based on the Bible. Who I'm friends with, based on the Bible. I guarantee you something. If you'll make every decision of life based on the Bible, your life will get easier. Your life will get easier. If you let Him guide every step you take, your life is going to become easier. His path for your life is easier than the devil's path for your life.
Right.
You get that? His path for your life is easier than the devil's path for your life. You say, well, I don't want to follow the devil's path. That's not the biggest problem we would have in this group today. Not, I don't think there are people in here that say, I'm going to follow the devil's path. But you know, let me tell you this. God's path is easier for your life than your path.
Right.
See, you need to understand something. God has a path. God has a He has a chart, and it's a chart for your steps in life. He wants you to follow that every day, all day long, step on the chart. Put your foot where it belongs. Each time. Make sure you do what God wants. Now, I don't think there's people in this building saying, I'm going to go down the devil's path. Oh, there might be a couple, but for the most part, that's not the case. But here's the thing. You'll go down your path. And God's path for your life is easier than your path for your life. You see, the devil's goal is this. He does not want you on God's path for your life. The devil knows that's the easier and the safest path. So the devil does, his ultimate goal is that you're not on God's path. Now listen, the devil comes along and says, hey, follow me. I'll take you down a rough, rugged path. Now if you'll do that, he'd be pleased. But wait a minute. If you won't go down the devil's path, he says to you, all right, you don't want to go down my path? Okay. Go down your path. You pick the path. The devil says, if you won't let me pick the path, I'll let you pick the path. Get on any path but God's path. The devil does not care which path you're on. You can pick one of 100 paths as long as you're not on the path that God wants you on.
Right.
Any path that you're on, other than the path you're supposed to be on, is difficult. It's hard. The best path for you to travel for your life is God's path. That's the easiest one. Every decision you make, listen, do you know that every decision that you make and you don't make it according to God's word, you have just complicated your life. Every decision. If you stop to think about how many decisions you made this week, let me promise you something. Every decision you made, and you did not consult the Word of God, you did not make your decision based on what God wants, you just complicated your life. You just weighed your life down. You just burdened your life. You just got off of His path and got onto your own path, and now it's rugged, and it's bumpy, and you say, boy, it's dangerous out here. Because you're not on His path. Hey, stop complicating your life. This whole truth, it's just all about giving you what I think you want. See, come on, I'd like to have the American dream. How about having God's dream? That's better than the American dream. Come on, I'd just like to have a decent life. Sure, okay. You want a decent life? Make every decision based on the Bible. Stop complicating your marriage. When you make decisions for your marriage that are not according to the Bible, you just complicated your marriage. You say, well we didn't decide to go out and go to some wild, wicked party and do wrong. But wait a minute. Every decision you make for your marriage that is not according to the Bible, you're off the path. Stop complicating your family. Stop complicating your finances. Stop complicating your future. Make every decision in life according to the Bible, and your life will get easier. Promise. God promises. Number two, if you want an easier Christian life, show up for all the church services.
Amen.
Show up for all the church services. Titus chapter 1, verse number 3 says, but hath in due times manifest his word through preaching. The word manifest means made known. If you're going to make all your decisions based on the Bible, then you're going to need to know what God says. And God shows that we get a lot of guidance in life through the preaching of God's word. If you'll show up for all the church services, your life is going to get easier.
Right.
I promise you. Every church service you miss, you just complicated your life.
Right.
Every person that didn't come to Sunday school this morning, somehow you have complicated your life. I don't know how. I can't point to it and say, right there it is. But you did.
Yes, sir. Right.
You say, you mad at me? No, I love you. I'm your friend. I was telling you the truth. The truth is, every church service, God is teaching you so you can have an easier life. And every time you miss a church service, you are making your life more difficult. You say, well, I only come to half of them, but my life's not half bad. Let me tell you, just think how wonderful it would be if you come to all of them. God loves you. And He sends truth to you through the preaching to make your life easier. I know this for a fact. And you don't have to be a rocket scientist to figure this out. The people who have the hardest time being good Christians are the ones that miss church the most. Think about it. You say, that's so simple. Yes, it is. The people that have the hardest time being good Christians are the ones that miss church the most. I will preach a sermon, and then somebody will come and see me and seek counsel, say, Brother Owens, I'm having a hard time with something, and I'll say, did you hear that sermon I preached a week ago on thus and so? Well, no, I didn't make it to church. Well, no wonder you've had a hard week. God provided the easy route and the teaching about how to have it easier. You didn't show up to get it, so your life's complicated. Boy, that's not hard to understand. If you don't believe that, just ask Thomas in the Bible. We won't take the time to read it. But here's what happened. The disciples were in night church. Very clear. Night church is taught in the Bible. The disciples had all met for night church. Jesus had been crucified. Now all the disciples are together. And Jesus shows up after His death. And when He shows up, there was one guy that didn't come to church that night. His name was Thomas. Thomas was not there. Now, Jesus shows up. And then, here's what happened. They say later on to Thomas, Thomas, guess who came to church tonight? He said, who? Thomas said, to Thomas, Jesus came to church tonight. Thomas said, I doubt it. Do you know that Thomas went down in history for being, what do we call him? Doubting Thomas. If Thomas would have showed up for church, he would have never go down in history as Doubting Thomas.
Right.
He didn't show up at church, so he doubted the fact that Jesus Christ had resurrected. And let me tell you something. The more church you miss, the more you'll doubt the Bible.
Yes, sir.
The more church you miss, the more truth from the Bible you're going to doubt. The harder your life, the harder it is for you to understand Christianity. I know that sounds so simple, but some of you are missing the simplest thing for your life. If you want to simplify Christianity, do everything you do according to the Bible. If you want to simplify your Christianity, come to church because God said, if you show up to church, I'll use the preaching to simplify your life. Thomas went down in history as a doubter because he did not show up at church. Jesus showed up. He walked away. And when they said, guess who was here tonight? He said, I doubt it. I doubt that Jesus was there. He doubted the resurrection of Jesus Christ because he didn't show up for church on Sunday night.
Right.
His absence from one night church service made his life hard. Think about it. I mean, this was the Savior. And here Thomas is doubting the resurrection. You know what the resurrection gives you and I? Hope. Hope.
I mean, here Jesus was walking with these disciples, and Jesus is crucified, and their hearts are broken, and I'm sure there's some doubt inside them. And Jesus has said, I'm going to come back, I'm going to resurrect, and I think some of them had their fingers crossed, saying, well, he said he was, but I don't know if he will, and I'm scared, and we've given our life to serve this guy, but he's dead. And then all of a sudden at night church, Jesus shows up in his resurrected body, and the other guys are going, oh yeah, Thomas is still out there moping and depressed and down and out because he didn't show up to church to find out that Jesus had resurrected. Thomas made his life hard. He was hopeless because he wasn't at church where he should have been. He was a doubter. And it's as simple can be. God has a path. If you'll let the Bible guide every step, you'll have an easier life. If you'll show up for all the church services, they'll make your life easier. Number three, if you want an easier Christian life, start early. Start early. Start living for God as early in life as possible. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse number 1 says this, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. Now listen to me. Everybody here that has children, or those of you that will have children someday, get them in church and keep them in church. You are going to complicate your child's life by not showing up for Sunday school, by not showing up for Sunday morning church and Sunday night church, and you're going to complicate their life. I'll guarantee it. They will have heartache. They will have burden. They will not know how to handle it. They need to be in church. Get them in Martinsburg Christian Academy as early as you can and keep them there. It's a whole lot easier to learn to live for God in life when you're young than when you're middle-aged.
Yes, right.
Should I have marched all of you across the platform so you could testify? Wonder how many of you would say, would to God I would have been reared in the church in Martinsburg Christian Academy and taught all those things. Would to God I would have had a King's Kids. Would to God I would have had a Young Fundamentalist. Would to God I would have started in the Christian school when I was in pre-K 3 or pre-K 4, and I've been reared that way. But now I have all this extra baggage. I got all these stupid mistakes I've made with my life. I've messed up. I've blown it over and over again, and I'm all scarred up. I'm all beat up. I'm all bruised up. And boy, I'm walking through life, and every time I get hit, I think, boy, this is hard. Hey, listen. If we start early and we get on the right path early, you don't get beat up as much. You don't get beat up as much. It's a whole lot easier to live for God later if you start earlier. Keep your kids in church. Keep them in church. You know that every decision that you make for your children is determining whether their life will be easier or harder. Not living for God in your youth will make living harder. Job chapter 20, verse 11, the Bible says, it speaks of a man whose bones are full of the sins of his youth. Let's keep our kids away from sin. Let's not let our kids make some of the same mistakes that we've made. Let's keep them up close to God. Let's keep them in church. Let your children see you take every step in the path of the Lord. Let your children see you in church Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. If you love them, you want their path to be as easy as possible. Hey, this old life is tough enough as it is. Why would we want to take a tougher path? Listen to this. And my whole purpose is not to preach on sin today, but to get you so your life is easier. You know what? It's easier to listen to good Christian music in your youth and then listen to it all the way through than to listen to bad music in your youth and then try to change later on in life because you've been listening to bad music and you need to change to good. I'll promise you. I'll promise you, it is easier to start out listening to the right music so you can finish up listening to the right music than to start out listening to the bad music and try to get the courage and the grit to change and give it up later on in life. Hey, some of you adults, you need to change the music you listen to, but you want to know something? You're addicted, aren't you? You're possessed by it, aren't you? It's controlling you, isn't it? You know you shouldn't be listening to it. Let me advise you. Then get every one of your children, write music, good music, pure music, holy music, and don't make them ever go through the struggle that you're going through. Had you started early, you can live right later, and it's easier. And I am not saying that if you're listening to bad music, you ought to throw in the towel and give up as an adult. You ought to quit it. You ought to stop it. And you can. But it's a whole lot easier if you never listen to bad stuff.
Amen.
It's easier to stay pure and moral if you started in your youth. Young people, Brother Brett, I'm going to use this microphone. Young people, you look at Brother Owens and you listen to me. Listen to me very carefully. Stay pure. Stay clean. If you are virgin, stay virgin. If you're not a virgin and you're not and you've not stayed pure, you decide from here on out to stay pure. But you listen to me very carefully. You're better off never having a sexual relationship with anybody until you get married. And that way you can carry on your life being moral and clean, because I'll tell you something. Anybody that starts it, if you start being physical and have a physical relationship with somebody before you're married, you are going to have the fight of your lifetime trying to stay pure from that point out. You start a bad relationship with somebody, your morality, it's going to be a constant war for you. Constant. Constant. I wonder how many young people that became sexually active when they were young, they try to get themselves right with God. They say, oh, I need to quit this. I need to quit this. It's not right. I need to quit this. Everybody here that's got an ounce of spirituality would say, that is a difficult thing to control. Can I tell you how you can control it? In your youth, stay pure and virgin, and you'll never have the fight that everybody else has with their morality. I promise you, I don't know, I wish I could go into more detail, but let me tell you something. This thing is sexual passion. It is so powerful. It is so powerful. The great David fell to it. He said, Brother Owens, I don't want to make the mistake David did. Stay pure from your youth. The battle is easier to fight if you stay pure, if you stay virgin, and if you wait. But if you give up that virginity and when you start tasting the candy, before long, your passions are going to want candy all the time. And you're going to fall and fall and fall and fall to that weakness. Don't give in to it in the first place. I promise you, if you would like an easier Christian life, start young. Start as young as you can. Listen, learn to tithe early in life. You know something? You can tell a child you ought to tithe and they'll tithe to God. Won't even question. There are people in here right now, I've mentioned the word tithe, and you're middle-aged or older, and you're going, here we go. Hard to do, isn't it? But tell you this. Had you started tithing when you were 3 years old and grandma sent you a birthday card with a dollar in it and you just learned you're supposed to give 10 cents of it, be easy to tithe. Can I tell you who it is easiest on financially to tithe? The ones that have been tithing all their life. They started early. Midway through, you're going, I'm so deep in debt. No way. Don't trust God that much. It is easiest to start early. If you, look, some of you that struggle with your Christian life terribly, don't make a mistake and let your kids mess up. Keep them in church. Keep them in the Bible. Start them early. Hey, new convert, I've got good news for you. You say, Brother Owens, I just got saved recently, and but I'm already in my middle years. No, you're a brand new convert. You're a babe in Christ. Start early. Start early. Start living for God right away. If you don't believe it, just ask the Apostle Paul. He started living for God late in life. And let me tell you, listen to what Paul said in Romans 7:19. For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. Paul said, I'm telling you, he said, this is hard. I've got a hard path. He said, there are times I want to do good and for some reason I don't. And there are times when I don't want to do bad and I do. He said, I wish it wasn't that way. Why was it so hard for Paul? Because he waited until he was in his middle years to start living for God. But you check the story of Samuel in the Bible. Samuel grew up at church. He was at all the services. He dedicated his life for God. And Samuel was an Old Testament hero. Never in the life of Samuel do you find a place where he was backslidden. Never! Never one time do you see a great time of backsliding in the life of Samuel. And I'll tell you why. He and his mama and daddy started him early. Started him early. Paul struggled tremendously. Samuel did not. You compare Samuel's record to Paul's or Saul's record, and you'll see that Saul said over and over again, it's a war, it's a battle, it's a war, it's a battle, it's a war, it's a battle. And we love Paul because we all associate with it. But I'll tell you what, there are a whole bunch of pure young people in here that say, I really love Samuel, I can associate with him. If you want your life not to be so difficult, make every decision you make in life according to the Bible. Show up at every church service so you get the guidance to stay on that path. If you want an easier Christian life, start early. And if you have children, start them now, right now. Number four, if you want an easier Christian life, walk in the Spirit of God. Galatians 5:16 says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit. Now there's a conjunction here. It says, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. You know what God's saying? Walk in the Spirit. That'll make your life easy. And if you will, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. What's he saying? You won't mess your life up. You won't make your life difficult. Every born-again Christian here, when you got saved, God, in the person of the Holy Spirit, came to live within you, and He is sealed there. And you ought to be talking to that Holy Spirit, saying, Lord, what do you want me to do? He will guide you in the Bible. He will direct you. We should not be ignoring Him. Galatians 5:16, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And in verse 17, it teaches us, when we are controlled by the flesh and not the Spirit, it says, ye cannot do the things that you should. If you would walk in the Spirit, your life would get easier. Every pastor alive, if he'd walk in the Spirit, the things around his church would get easier. Would they be easy? No, it's never easy. It's a spiritual battle, but it would get easier. Every person in full-time Christian service, if you would walk in the Spirit, your service to God would get easier. Easy? No, but easier. Every parent here ought to walk in the Spirit. Why, Brother Owens? Will that take all the burdens out of my life? No, but it'll lessen the burdens. Every decision you make, listen carefully, every decision you make and you're not walking in the Spirit of God, you're complicating your life. Every decision. You just made it harder. The Spirit of God wants to lead you in the safest path. Is it a path that is not going to have any danger? No. No, it's not. But it is a path that has the danger planned on it that God wanted you to go through. And so when you don't walk in the Spirit, every single decision you make, you just complicated your life. You made it more difficult. You made it a bumpier road. And you are now outside the path God gave you. Your worst decisions are just that. Your decisions. Your worst decisions are just that. Your decisions. If you let the Bible be your guide, if you let the Holy Spirit lead you, your decisions would be the best decisions that you could humanly make. That's easiest. That's the easiest thing to do. Walking in the Spirit makes your Christian life easier. Be aware of His presence. Don't forget about God in your everyday life. Easier. Hey, how easy is your wife to handle, since we're talking about easy? Is she easy to handle? Two men were overheard in a line at the local coffee shop bragging about how much control they had over their wives. A third man was listening but remained very quiet. After a while, the two men turned to the third and said, well, what about you? Does your wife know who's boss in your family? Is she easy to handle? The third fellow smiled and said, I'll tell you what. Just the other day, my wife came to me on her hands and knees. Whoa, the first two guys said. Then what happened? Well, she said, get out from underneath that bed and fight me like a man.
ain't no woman that's easy to handle.
But there's a way to make it easier. You know what? God does not want your life to be as complicated as you allow it to become. You choose complication. There will always be stress in your life. Somehow we get this idea that stress is bad. No, there's always going to be stress in your life. It's going to be there. It's just how it is. But you don't have to have as much stress as you have. God has chosen some stress for your life. You need to stop choosing to put so much stress in your life. God's chosen stress is within His will. Your stress is when you do your will or the devil's will. That's when you won't make every decision according to the Bible. That's when you won't show up for church. That's when you don't get started right away. Look, the very moment you reject something that God wants you to do, you just complicated your life. The minute you hear a truth preached that you need to live, start right away. Because from that point out, when you reject it, you just stressed out your life. You just complicated your life. If you want to live the easy Christian life, then make sure you walk in the Spirit. Number five, if you want an easier Christian life, get this. Don't sin. Do you know what complicates our life? We sin. You say, man, Brother Owens, a kindergartner could preach this. I know. Think about it for a minute. Why is your life complicated? What complicates our days? So much of it is sin. Proverbs 5:22 says, His own iniquities shall take the wicked himself, and he shall be holden with the cords of his sin. Your sin, it's like a spider that's throwing his web onto you. Every time you play tag with the spider of sin, his web gets on you. And when you're trying to go it through life, you're kind of fastened down and you're connected to that thing. Your sin complicates your life. Your sin makes your life difficult. Your sin causes a lot of bumps in the road. Look, sin makes life hard. You want to go do drugs? Okay, then your life's going to be hard. You want to be a boozer? Then your life's going to be hard. You decided. Maybe not. Maybe you didn't say, well, I'm deciding for the hard life, but if you do something contrary to the Word of God and you sin, you just complicated your life. And it crescendos. The more you drink, the more complicated your life gets. The more you're attached to the drugs, the more complicated it gets. The more you get into gambling, the more complicated your life gets. Sin is controlling. Many of your life's complications are the result of your sins. Just ask Judas. Ask Judas how complicated life can get when you do wrong. He was disloyal. He turned on Jesus. He sold him out. Where did he end up? He's going, well, I can't take this. I think I'll kill myself. And he did. He hung himself. Now, who made Judas's life hard? Judas. Judas would have had some bumps in the road, because everybody does. But who complicated his life to that point? Judas did. His sin made his life, to him, unbearable. Look, can I advise you? Don't commit adultery. It'd be fun. It'll ruin you. It'll break your heart. It'll ruin your marriage and somebody else's marriage. Don't commit adultery. Say why? It's easier if you don't. It's easier. And again, if I could bring some people up here and let them tell you, they would say, please. There are people that can testify and say, I've committed adultery before and it's hard. It's hard to face. It's hard to get over. It's hard to heal. You know, the smart thing is, don't commit adultery. sin keeps you from having the easy life or an easier life. If you lie, it's going to complicate your life. It's going to make it hard. If you steal, it's going to make your life hard. You say, the easy thing is to steal somebody else's money. You'll find out it's not easy. The easy thing was to do it right in the first place. Hey, if you want an easier Christian life, don't sow bad, and you won't have to reap bad. Don't sow bad, and you won't have to reap bad. We've heard the verse over and over again, Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 and 8. The Bible says, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption." Stop making life so hard on yourself. If you sow to your flesh, you're going to reap to your flesh. If you sow bad, you're going to reap bad. If you sow negative, you're going to reap negative. That's all there is to it. Ask Cain. Cain and Abel were brothers. God had said that Cain and Abel were to bring to God a sacrifice, and that sacrifice would be a sacrifice of blood. Cain chose to bring a sacrifice of the fruit of the ground. Abel brought the right sacrifice. Cain got mad at Abel. He rose up and he killed his brother. You understand? Cain was the first murderer. Then God said, "I'm going to mark you, Cain. I'm going to mark you because you have sown to your flesh. Now I'm going to mark your flesh." And you know what Cain did? I do not know how God exactly marked Cain, but God said, "I'm going to mark you so everybody knows you're the first murderer." And Cain said this, "My punishment is greater than I can bear." Now listen to me, folks. If you do wrong, you're going to reap. And you're going to say, "This is hard. But the ones, why do I have to go through this hardship?" Did you sow to the flesh? "Brother Owens, I'm losing my car. I'm losing my car. They're repossessing it. This is hard." Maybe you should have done what you were taught about paying your bills on time and not borrowing beyond your means. And look, if you reap to your flesh, if you go satisfying your flesh all the time and you sow to your flesh, you're going to reap. And reaping stinks. Reaping is hard, folks. Don't do the hard thing. Don't do that to yourself. You want your Christian life to be easier? Don't sow bad, and you won't have to reap bad. It's easier to choose right than to have to reap the consequences of wrong. I promise you. I know a man who stole a car. He got right later on in life. Someone stole his car. He was irate. He said, "I can't believe this. Can't believe you reap what you sow." It was hard when he lost his. Hey, if you want an easier Christian life, you need to confess and forsake your sin immediately. The Bible says, Proverbs 28:13, "He that covereth his sin shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy." Every day you let a sin stay in your life, you just complicated your life. Every day. If God's convicted you about something today here in this service, you need to get on your knees and say, "God, I'm getting that right now." But every moment you delay confessing and forsaking your sin, you just made your life tougher. Made it harder. Ask David. You understand, David committed adultery with Bathsheba, but it didn't start with him having a physical relationship. He went on the housetop, he took a look and he lusted. Had David fallen to his knees the moment he lusted and said, "Oh God, forgive me, I'm not going back there," he would have never committed adultery. He would have never had Uriah put to death. But because he delayed his confession, his life got harder and harder and harder and harder. Don't be shocked if you say, "I'm going under." Are you going under because you won't get on your knees and get right? When you take a wrong turn, turn around, head back quickly. Hey, if you want an easier Christian life, avoid temptation. Don't just avoid sin. Matthew 6:13 says, "And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." What's it saying? Now, you understand temptation is one step before sin. If you will avoid temptation, you'll never find yourself on the threshold of sin. But we say, the temptation, it doesn't bother me. So you find yourself brushing up against and face to face with sin. Sin's too strong. The Bible says, lead us not into temptation. It does not say, lead us not into sin. It says, lead us not into temptation. Matthew 26:41 says, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. What's it saying? You better watch, and if anything is one step away from sin, stay away from that. Watch for temptation, it says. It does not say watch for sin and stay away from sin. It said watch for temptation, because temptation is one step from sin. And God is saying, if you want the easy path, watch for temptation and head away from temptation. But the hard thing is, when you step into the realm of temptation, now you're face to face with sin. Well, you're probably going to commit it then. You know, it is easier to run from temptation than it is to run from sin. Sure is. Run from sin's territory. Run from things that could lead to sin. Don't go down to Joe's Bar and Grill to drink milk. I am the kind of preacher that says, let's stay away from temptation. Stay away from temptation. Why? I've seen many people that don't stay away from temptation. They fall on their face right and left, and they fall into sin. Hey, you want the easy Christian life? Run from temptation. Don't just run from sin. Run from temptation. You know what? It's easy to get saved. I'll tell you this. Getting saved is easier than going to hell. Well, I don't feel like it. It would be hard for me. Now, getting saved is very easy. Somebody else does it all. But what you're saying is, if I get saved, I know I probably ought to live right, and that would be hard for me, so I don't want to do it. Let me tell you something. You better go ahead and take the hardship that might follow in your attempt to try to live for Christ after Him saving you by grace through faith than to face hell, because once you get there, you're going to find out how hard things really get. You're going to find out. You're going to say, I should have done the easy thing. I should have gotten saved. Living for the Lord is easier than living for the devil. The devil will kick the holy snot out of you 24 hours a day. He'll take you for everything you're worth. He'll take you deeper than you want to go, keep you longer than you want to stay. He'll take you for everything you're worth. God just keeps on giving and giving and giving and giving. Hey, you're better. It's easier to do what God wants you to do than what the devil wants you to do. And some of you that say, boy, if I really became a fundamental Baptist and started living for God, that would be hard. Not as hard as what it is for you to live the way you do. You're living a hard life. I chose the easy life. I've got God's help. I got a book to tell me everything to do. Do you? You have a book that'll tell you how to make every decision in your life? I do. Sure makes it a lot easier. I've got an authority I can trust 100%. It's God. Who do you trust? Well, you trust yourself. If you're not saved, I'd get saved. Why? It's an easy thing to do. He said, take my yoke upon you. It's easy and it's light. And so you say, I'm all burdened down. Everything is so hard. If you'll look tucked into those 7 or 8 points, maybe you can figure out why it's all uphill. I'm sorry for some of you. You got started late in life. You're saying, this is hard. I'm sorry. Yes, it is. Now, you can still do it. You can still do it. You should do it. But just think about it. On behalf of all the young people here, man, let's not put them through the constant turmoil and struggle of the hard life. Let's give them the easy Christian life. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed.